Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
I said something on last week Tuesday. I spoke about that the Holy Spirit leads us by Spirit. I mean, did I say that the Holy Spirit does not lead us through visions? Did I say that? What did I say when it comes to visions and the judgment of the Holy Spirit? Anyone wants to remind me? What did I say about when it comes to the visions and angelic visitations with the Holy Spirit? You do what? Okay, you expose it to God's word. This is okay. Let me give you this color. This is my favorite color. Is this your favorite color? Help me. When you mean exposed to God's word, what do you mean? You check with the consistency of what you have heard or what you have seen with God's word. What if you see the angel real life? What if you see the angel real life? Yeah. Check. Even though you saw him, Abby. All right. Bible students. The purpose of this Bible study is that you will know the Bible. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. I didn't say hallelujah. I say praise the Lord. All right. I want you to be Bible students. The Bible says that you will no longer be children, tossed to and fro with every weight of doctrine, everything, every wind. If you are a child, anything will bamboozle you. Anybody can just come and deceive you. But when you have grown in the word, the purpose of this Bible study is that you would grow in God's word. All right? Let's open the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are today studying the office of a prophet and where the scope of prophetic scope as regards the guidance of a believer. Where does a prophet come when it comes to a believer being led by the Holy Spirit? 1 Thessalonians, Dumo, are you in the house? 5 verse 21. My time is short this morning, but I'll do my best to run as fast as I can. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21. All right? The Bible says to prove. Are you all there? Prove all things and hold fast. What does NLT say? What does NLT say?
But test everything that is said.
So he said test. Somebody say test. Yes. Now, when the Bible says to test everything that is said, give me NLT, please.
But test everything that is said.
Test everything that is said and what?
Hold on to what is good.
Hold on to what you have found to be good. When the Bible says to test everything that is said, that means irrespective of who said it. Irrespective of who said it, the person may be a very mighty man of God. The gift of God is perfect. The vessel of God is not. The Bible says, for we have these treasures in what? Earthen vessels, in perfect vessels. As long as we are human, we would have times when we miss it. So the Bible says to prove all things, test all things. What does message say? Do you have message or you have amplified? Give me amplified first. Amplified for that. All right. Amplified. 1 Thessalonians 5:21.
Amplified.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you will not see my writing.
But test all things carefully.
Test all things carefully.
Open bracket so you can recognize what is good.
So you can recognize. So when you recognize, you hold firmly to it. I like the fact that God does not put anybody in a category that you cannot test. It may be a mighty prophet. And I have no problem. You see, the Bible does not say to test people or to judge people. It says to judge what is being said. Now, the challenge with judging people is that if you put your focus on people, you are going to taint what the person says or what the person does by the validation you already have given to the person. For instance, if you think that I'm already a man of God, you are already absorbed by the reality that you think that I'm a strong man of God. There's a tendency for you to swallow everything I say. So that's why the Bible says to judge me. Don't judge me. Judge what I say. What a man says is not what proves whether he's a real man of God or not. A prophet, a true prophet of God, can prophesy and it won't come to pass. A true prophet, that a prophecy came to pass, is not the proof of the validity of the man of God. A true man of God can prophesy and it will not come to pass like he prophesied. Do you have an example in the scriptures? Who has an example for me? One, who knows an example? Jonah is an example of a man. Did Jonah prophesy? Oh, Jonah's prophecy. One day I'll be sharing car keys like this in church. I will come with a bag of car keys. You get the Bible scripture correct, I give you one car. Give you one car. And if you already have like three cars, you give your friend. Somebody say amen. Car. Jonah said this land will be destroyed. Jonah wanted the land to be destroyed. So he refused to preach to them. The Bible says that they repented. And when they repented, what happened? The land was not destroyed. But the land was destroyed several years afterwards, but not at the instance of Jonah's season. Are you following my point? Now, it's possible for a man to prophesy and it comes to pass and he's not a true man of God, or he's no longer a true man of God. And yet he prophesies and it comes to pass. Who has an example in scriptures? Give me. The old prophets. You see, I have Bible scholars here. What did your prophet prophesy? Yes. And he told him as he's going, a lion will heat him up. And the lion hit him up. A lion ate him up. So the fact that I said something correctly does not mean I am a true man of God. A lot of prophets are false prophets. And I'm going to tell you what makes a false prophet and what makes a true prophet this evening. A false prophet can give a true prophecy, and a true prophet can give a false prophecy. So the Bible says to prove everything that is being done, everything that is being said, and you hold fast to that which is true. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read three openings, do more. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and verse 12. Write that down. Ephesians 4, 11 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11, what does it say? Give me, 11 verse and 12.
And he gave some.
He gave some.
Apostles.
Apostles, one.
And some.
Wait. So we have apostles. Then two, what?
Prophets.
Yes, and then?
And some evangelists.
And then what?
And some pastors.
And then what?
Teachers.
So now we have five-fold ministries. Everybody who is a minister of the gospel will fall within these five. Five. Number one is what? Apostles. So when we were young and they were teaching us, they taught us with our five fingers what each of these offices were. Now, a lot of people go about themselves, brandish themselves as apostles today, and they are not apostles. See, there's none of these things that is a title. There is none of these things that is a title. Everything is a duty, is a work in the spirit. It's an office. It is not something you can desire or covet to work in. It's an office that God calls you into. Are you following my point? Yeah. So somebody can just say, because you know, apostle is the one that is reigning now. I'm an apostle. You know, and I have a couple of friends who we started together who are now apostles. As if it's a promotion. Now, apostle, they'll say, this is five fingers. That is the apostle. This is a who? This is the evangelist. No, This is the prophet, Abi. This is the evangelist, then this is the pastor, then this is the teacher. So they used to explain that this the term, because it's separated. Now, the work of an apostle is to find, is to break new grounds. So they do that either theologically, doctrinally, or ministerially. And that is why someone that is pastoring a church and is staying there, pastoring that church, is not an apostle. And an apostle is not superior to a teacher. And it's because we are so obsessed with titles. African finance man. What's that a title? Igwe, pastor, doctor, African tallest man, His Excellency, you know, Prime Minister. I've seen people who refused to get up when they were invited because they didn't give them their proper title. So if I call him and say, Brother Bobby, he say, what do you mean? Me, brother? Are you a sister? Yeah, brother. Till you die, you are a brother. Till you die like this, you are a brother. You are a brother. So it's like Brother Kenneth Higgins, as if they are comfortable with Brother Copeland, because they are brothers. Brother David, they are brothers. And throughout scriptures, people are called after their duty, not after their title. So you see scriptures that they will call him John D. Not Baptist John. John, the person that baptizes people. Jesus, the Messiah. Not Messiah, Jesus. Paul, the apostle. Not Apostle Paul. Everything that comes before your name, they dash you. Like Mr. You didn't work for your Mr. That thing they gave you, they gave you. Whatever make you a Mrs., they gave you. Are you following my point? Whatever comes after your name, like your degrees in university, you work for it. Are you following my point? So if you have PhD, what does it come? After your name. All these are duties. You have prophets, you have evangelists, you have pastors. Now, most of the most controversial of all is this one. And that's why I want to zoom in on that today. Now, there are basic 9 gifts. I love to go to scripture. Write this down. I won't be able to go through because of my time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. It'll give you more, you know, balance to this. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. My friend, Maggie, I see you. I see you. Where's Kelvin? Thank you for coming. All right. Romans 12. Have you written that down? Have you written that down? Okay. Romans 12. 6 to 8. Romans 12, 6 to 8. Read it.
Having then gifts. Differing according to the grace that is given to us.
Gifts that are differing according to the grace that are given to us.
Whether prophecy. Let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith.
He said according to the proportion of faith, yes.
Or ministry.
Let us wait on our ministry.
On he that teaches. On teaching.
So if God gives you a teaching, don't eye the other person's own. Stay where you are, all right? What does it say next?
He that exalted. On exhortation.
So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Have you written that down? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse, let me see if I should take it a bit up before we go there. All right, if you look at verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Verse 8 says, for to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Help me do more, help me with the rest. Word of wisdom, yes.
The word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
To another, word of knowledge, yes.
By the same Spirit.
Same Spirit. Number 3, yes.
To another,
faith.
By the same Spirit.
Yes. Now next one.
To another, the gifts of healing by the
gifts
same Spirit.
Of is it gifts or gifts?
Gifts.
So it's gifts of healing. Of all the gifts in scriptures, this is the only scripture that pluralizes the gifts. It calls it the gifts of healing, not the gifts. Because in the gifts of healing, when God gives you the gifts of healing, some of us are more gifted to heal paralysis. Some of us are more gifted to heal barrenness. I have an unusual anointing for barrenness. I've come to accept it. I used to dodge it before. But I've accepted it now. Because it's not normal. People have gifts to heal blindness. I mean, a lot of people can come. If they have 10 blind, all the 10 of them will be healed. And some people, they will pray. They are only gifted for stroke or for organs, heart, kidney, you know, this kind of stuff. All right? Next one. What do I say next?
To another, the working of miracles.
To another, the working. So this is the only gift that he calls work of miracles. He calls it a work. For those of us who are waiting on God for a miracle, he lets us know that we have to work the miracle. All right? Next one.
To another, prophecy.
Prophecy. Yes.
To another, discerning of spirits.
To another, discerning
of spirits.
So you see this discerning of spirits. I'm just trying to explain this thing sharply. He didn't call it discerning of character. Discerning of what? For some people who are busy bodies in other people's matters. Discerning people's character up and down. Seeing somebody whose skirt is too short in church, prognosing in things that does not concern you. He said, go and discern spirits, not morality. Are you following my point? Now, there are some people in church who took it upon themselves to be the judge of everybody. Somebody sent me a message yesterday, but the message didn't get to my phone directly, got it through my I blocked my direct line. He said, I don't like your hair. And the person is bleaching. Next one. Yeah. Next one.
To another, diverse kinds of tongues.
Diverse kinds
of tongues.
Okay, so you see, this gift of tongues is not the praying in tongues. This diverse kind of tongues is a gift of the Spirit. Your praying in tongues is an evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's not the gifts. There's something called diverse kinds of tongues. You see, and if you don't operate in any gift this morning, this evening, I want you to be able to desire God, that God will give you a gift this evening. The Bible says it's given to how many people? If you look at the first verse we read, verse 7.
For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man.
Every who?
Every man.
Every man. To do what?
To profit with
to all. To profit from it. So this is not an exclusive for any kind of category of people. It says every man. Someone say every man. So what's the last one? Give me the last one.
To another, the interpretation of tongues.
Interpretation
of tongues.
Of tongues. Now, so the reason why I've listed out this all out is because I want to let you know that for a man that operates as a prophet, the gifts are categorized into three kind of gifts. We call them the power gifts, the utterance gifts, and the revelational gifts. Now, the revelational gifts show something. So if you look at these nine gifts, the revelational gifts, I'm going to explain each of them to you, is this one: word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and then discernment of spirits. This is not writing. Is it the new one you bought? Praise. Did you check out this thing for you? Bring it here. Okay? This, and this. Now, word of wisdom means explicitly or very, very clearly that is a revelation or an impression of God in your spirit about what is about to happen in the future. And then it helps you apply wisdom to it. Because if you know what's coming, then you cannot prepare for it. Are you following my point? Now, all through the Old Testament, we had the prophets operating in the word of wisdom a lot. They call it foretelling. It's like predicting what's going to happen. Are you following my point? So now, a lot of prophets operated here. Word of knowledge is the one that reveals what has happened or what is happening, of facts, of persons, of places, or of time. Are you following my point? So if I operate in the word of knowledge, I'll be able to know. And it can operate in different ways. I have been in meetings before and I felt my eye go blind. And I will say it. I mean, if I've seen myself before, I'll say, it's your left eye. Somebody might come out with right eye. I'll say, no, it's your left eye. Because my left eye has gone blind. There was a day I was praying on our early morning prayer. And one of my legs almost caught a stroke as I was praying. I knew because I knew I don't have stroke. There was somebody who was going through that condition, and I could feel it in my body. That is what? Eh? So because it is not future, it is present. It is what? Word of knowledge. Now, discernment of spirit is to know, to have revelation into the spiritual. See angels, see Jesus, or be able to discern the spiritual power behind this condition. So if I see someone go through something, like a lady came into my office one day, she sat down and she was going through, and she was telling me all kinds of stuff that she was going through, and I held her hand to pray with her. This girl was suffering from serious spiritual husband. Spiritual husband has followed her since she was a child. Yeah, spirit husband though. You know that we 21st century believers, he said, I'm a New Testament. I don't deny that you're a New Testament, but there are spiritual battles. And you see, and the 21st century Christians to be trained in the art of spiritual warfare. This thing you are sleeping around with is going to say, they are not joking with you. Some of us have been on the same spot for so long, and you don't know that this thing is not normal. So this demon has followed her for so long. You won't believe it. One day she saw the demon literally. She was making her fingernails in a spa, and that man came in. She saw the man, and she was, the way they would have sexual intercourse in the dream, the man sat in front of her and was sleeping with her right there. Serious, heavy. This girl, as you see, someone who has potentials, has everything, but has never moved forward in her life. As we sat down there and I held her hands, I felt something moving in my body. I said, it is here. She said, yes, I'm feeling it here. I said, it has moved here now. As the thing was moving in her body, it was moving in my body. And I was able to discern the spirit. Are you following my point? I was able to that this thing responsible for that. And I said, when next you see it, this and this and this and this, you should tell her to tell the spirit. And she was supposed to get a job. And as she got there, she was talking to a client, and the demon was tormenting her there. I mean, her finances was on the same ground. So she went to the bedroom because she was tensed up. And as she was looking at the mirror in the bedroom, the demon appeared behind her in the mirror. And I said, when next he appears, I said, shut up, you devil. I now have a new owner. Jesus is my owner. And the demon said, I cannot let you. Say, shut up. Jesus is my owner. Jesus is my owner. I have a new, I do not belong to you anymore. And the thing vanished. And she got the contract. Hallelujah. That's discerning the spirit. Now, so these are the three revelational gifts. Quickly. And then, a prophet, a man called into the office of a prophet. A man that is called, not just that he has the gift of prophecy. A man that is called into the office of a prophet would have, help me with this, would have at least one of these three, and then the gift of prophecy. Any man called into the office of a prophet will have at least two of these three gifts, the revelational gifts, and then the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is a general gift for all believers. The Bible says to covet to prophesy. All of us can prophesy. Everybody here can prophesy. Everybody in this church, I've done it before. We're in the meeting and I said, everybody today, you're going to prophesy. People were afraid. I said, don't worry, you will prophesy. I said, hold the hands of your neighbor. You're going to prophesy to your neighbor. And people prophesy, strangers, complete strangers. People prophesy to their neighbors. How many of you in church that day did that thing? Isn't that amazing? We should do one of these days again. Have you shown me? Yeah. Because you saw people's heart was joyful. I mean, miscellaneous. You see joy. Because what people will be hiding, a total stranger began to speak to them. And the way to know prophecy is that prophecy will bring exhortation, it will bring comfort, and it will bring edification to the body. Anything that does not bring exhortation, does not bring comfort, does not bring edification to the body is not prophecy. Anything that brings fear to you is not prophecy. God does not use fear to talk to his children. I said that last Tuesday. that even if there's going to be an accident, it will not show you dead bodies. It will say what? Don't go. Period. It will be showing you, so you say, hey, fear. No, it doesn't speak with fear. Bible says perfect love casteth all fear. So prophecy is a gift that all of us as believers should walk in. Everybody, you should be able to prophesy. Prophecy in itself is a combination. I need my pen. It's a combination of this prophecy, is a combination of these two gifts: interpretation of tongues and diverse kind of tongues. So when you pray in tongues, meka pras keteleku biliki taliki bata, what you are doing is prophesying in an unknown language. Because prophecy is declaring the will of God concerning any matter. And God says, either pray in tongues, pray the will of God. That is why praying in tongues is more important than praying in your language. When you pray in tongues, you pray beyond the limitations of your doubts. You cannot doubt what you don't understand. Are you following my point? So your doubts cannot stand in between the answers to your prayer. When you are praying in tongues, you do not even know what you are saying. So if you're asking God, Lord, I receive the multitudes. And that's what you are saying in the spirit. As you are declaring that in the spirit, you are receiving it. Even because your understanding is not open to it, it is impossible for you to poison that prayer with fear, unbelief, or doubt. Am I making sense this evening? That's why I pray in tongues more than I pray in my language. So there will be times when you are praying. As you are praying, as you are praying, as you are praying, you will know when you have unlocked the prophecy. You will know. You just begin to declare the things that you have been saying in tongues. You begin to declare it in English. You will hear yourself saying things you could not have said by yourself. And those are deep wells of prayers. You don't get it by just shallow shumini that you're praying. It's as you are praying. So when you interpret the tongues and then diverse kind of tongues, it leads us to prophecy. Now, a prophet has these three principal gifts. So does God want us to be led by prophets in these days? Does God want us to be guided by prophets in these days? Now, no matter how unusual it is, they are real and true prophets in our days. Are you following my point? True prophets in our days. But did God design that a New Testament believer will live by prophets? And as there are people here today who are looking at me, looking very innocent. But as they are like this, they have already submitted people's names to prophets. And they are in this place. And prophets say, give me the names. This person, this person, this person, this person. Who do you think the Lord wants me to marry? There are people like that in this place. Don't just be looking straight. There are people, it's their mother that told them, send these names, send their names. We'll help you pray on it. Innocent prayer. But is that God's design? The Bible says, for as many that are what? Eh? As many that are what? Led by prophets. Eh? By who? The Spirit. They are what? So God principally wants us to be led by His Spirit. God doesn't want us to build our lives on prophecies or guide our lives through prophecies. A lot of people are too lazy to hear God for themselves. They are not ready to pay the price of intimacy with God. So they are always depending on someone else to tell them what they think God wants to tell them. So instead of us to pray and hear God for ourselves, somebody thinks that me, I can hear God better than them. And it's not true. It's not true. I am very humble to tell you today that there's nothing that I have with God that is not open to anyone here. There is no movement, there's no dimension, there is no depth, there's no river that I'm swimming in God that everybody in this place is not open to today. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. So that everybody now has access, unrestricted, equal, unregulated access to God. God doesn't want us to guide our fears. by prophecies. What does God have? Yes, by his word. What does his word say? So does that undermine the place of prophets? Absolutely not. Like I said, the prophet works in these three gifts principally. Now, the fact that I operate in the world of knowledge very, very well. Very, very well. If I say this meeting is too boring, if I say it now that this will require me like this, it's too boring. Close that door. I'll start from here now. I'll begin to tell you now what you're going through. All I have to do is just to bow down my head. I'll unlock. You see, God is always on. We are the ones that switch off. There's no time that God is tired. The last time I flowed in the Holy Ghost, if I kept flowing, I would have flowed to today. God is an inexhaustible supply. Are you following my point? There is no time that God finished. If human beings have the capacity to go on for 24 hours, God will go on for 24 hours. He laton. Miracle laton. Breakthrough laton. Oh, no, 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 no. It doesn't stop. So if I feel that this meeting is too boring and I want to do some drama, because people like drama, I'll just start. I'll tell choir. I know the songs I want. I know this because it's me. The gifts of God are without. So you give me a gift. Just as much as somebody can misuse a natural gift, somebody can misuse a spiritual gift. It's exclusively at my disposal. That's why you cannot gauge my relationship with God by the power of my gifts. Mm-hmm. So because he has given it to me, I can say, okay, I want to do that now. I can covet that gift. And I begin to speak to people what is in their lives. But you cannot build your life on prophecy. Most of all, our prayer platform, prayer that we're doing, people like prophecy, 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 because people are not ready to grow. And that's the problem with today's believer. No Sunday school, no discipleship, no Bible class, nothing. We just want quick fix, quick miracle, quick tell me now. And that's why a lot of people keep falling into all kinds of ditch. And a lot of pastors are sleeping with a lot of women. Yes. Yes, I'm telling you. Because they will not let you rest. Pastor, do you have a word for me? No. No. Somebody told me, Pastor, God told me that you have a word for me. I said, yes. God said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Don't put words in my mouth. Because when they mount pressure on you, the desire to perform comes on you. And then you end up in error. A lot of people have been pushed by members to say things that God didn't tell them. God did not intend that our lives will be lived on prophecy. Are you following my point? Now, so do not accept something from a prophet except you are verified by God's word. That's number one. Always the word first, the word first, the word first. Number two, the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirit of a prophet is subject to that prophet. There is nothing, there is no source that I have to say it. I cannot stop myself from saying it. It's a lie. I can stop preaching now. See how I stop preaching on one Sunday? I stop preaching. Because the spirit of a prophet is what? Subject. We are the initiators. And that's why as a minister of the gospel, as a believer, you must know how to initiate the move of God. Somebody told me to go short. He said, when the Holy Ghost does not move me, I move the Holy Ghost. As a minister, I know, oh God, I need to teach you guys how to do this thing. I want to flow in the anointing. I'm telling the truth. I've learned it, Pastor. I know how to flow in the anointing. I know how to flow in the anointing. I know how to allow God flow through me. I'm the initiator of that spirit. So because it's coming from my spirit, I can regulate it. And so if God speaks a word in my heart, you that I'm speaking to must have firm grasp of God's word to be able to judge it. Because it is me. It is subject to me. Am I making sense this night? Right? Let me continue because of my time. Prophecy should confirm what you already have. prophecy should confirm what you already have. God will never, in the New Testament, tell somebody something about you that he has not first been trying to impress in your spirit. Please, I want you to listen to me clearly. I am telling you from experience and from the word. Acts chapter 13 verse 2. Acts 13 verse 2. Help me. Acts 13 verse 2. Help me do more. What does it say?
As they ministered
to the Lord, yes.
And fasted. The Holy Ghost said. Separate me.
Barnabas and Saul.
For the work whereunto I have called them.
He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. For the work I have what? So he had called them. Barnabas and Saul were not hearing that thing for the first time. Are you following my point? Maybe Barnabas already heard. Say, Father, I don't think I can do this thing. I don't think this is my own. So let me just keep praying. Paul too. Hey, Paul, say please. Look at all the elder people that are here. How does it mean that God is calling him? God, I bet, let me just keep praying. So when I say, yes, in the name of the Lord, just spoke to me now. Separate me, Paul and Barnabas. So when the Holy Ghost spoke, do you think the Holy Ghost came down to speak? Did the Holy Ghost speak through somebody? When Bible says the Holy Ghost spoke, who was speaking? Someone who became a vessel of the Holy Ghost spoke by prophecy. But the thing there is that Paul and Barnabas were not hearing that thing for the first time. No matter how much you respect me, if I tell you something that you cannot prove in your spirit, trash it. I'm the one that told you that. If I say, Bobby, and I gave you a word now, and you searched your heart, you couldn't find it, you go to pray, you couldn't find it, trash it. Because a prophecy will, by necessity, confirm what, and it's possible that God has been trying to tell you, but you didn't take note, or your spirit was not deep or strong enough to catch it. Some of us, God has tried to tell us things for years. He will not come and even tell you in your dream, but you will forget. So he will now steer up somebody who does not even know anything and say it. When the person says it, you will now remember, say, it's true. Do you know this has been on my heart? That is how God moves in the New Testament. God will not bypass you. He doesn't mind to sit at the edge of Samuel's bed and be shouting, Samuel, 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 Samuel. He will not go and tell Eli to tell Samuel anything that Samuel has not first heard. Are you following me? So sometimes you may not even know, but as I speak it, your spirit will catch it. This thing, because it will connect straight with you. You know what we're going to start SLC? The Lord has spoken to me to start this house. Well, my pastor didn't want me to leave. And so they came up with all kinds of issues. We're not character issues. No character. I wasn't a character. There was no character. I was beyond standard morally. I did not visit anybody without my pastor's notice. There's nothing. You cannot even see anything on me. Somebody just rose up. I said, I saw a vision. And I was kneeling before the Lord. And as I was talking to the Lord dropped a letter from above. And that letter was written capital No. That the Lord gave me no. And that the Lord now said, after that vision, people were now saying, what if he does not listen? That the Lord said, leave him. He's an arrogant, proud, and egoistic young man. Let him go. Whatever his eyes see, he will see there. So when they told me that vision, I said, it's a lie. He said, I didn't need to think about it. I didn't need to pray about it. I said, how did God pass me now and come and tell you people all these things? Why didn't he tell me? Is he afraid of me? So imagine the kind of prophecy. And it's possible that the person that said it already have an antecedent in prophetic accuracy. Say, this guy's pedigree. These are the ones that prophesy for Usman Bin Laden. These are people that prophesy. These are people that prophesy to This one, if they see anything like this, I trust it. Imagine if I stayed back and didn't start SLC. Imagine all the lives that could have been blessed just because I allowed somebody's prophecy. Determine. It must be by confirmation. Now, prophecy is not for guidance. My time is gone. Please, just allow me to give this last point. Prophecy is not for guidance. How do I explain this thing? Nobody under heaven has the right to direct another person. We can counsel people. When you have found your calling in life, you can come and meet me and say, "Pastor, this and this and this are the things that God said to me." I will not say, "Oh, if God has told you this, then I think this and this and this are the things you can do in pursuit of what you have already discovered in God." But it's not my job as a prophet to open you up anew to something you have never seen before. Even if God is going to open a new dispensation, He will connect it somehow. I don't know how to explain this thing. When Peter rose up from that dream, when they say, "Rise up and eat." And he says, "Rise up and eat." What did Peter say? He said, "No, Lord." Why? He said, "I have never eaten anything unclean." What did that voice say? He said, "Don't call unclean what God has." So you see that that voice did not say that thing did not used to be unclean. I don't know whether you people got what I'm saying. Because indeed, those things used to be unclean. Throughout the Old Testament, God said, "Don't touch this, don't touch that." But God is now saying, "Look, I have cleansed it now." So God opens us to a new dispensation. He would confirm by His word. It's not for guidance. Sometimes somebody might come and tell you something. And that is why you see people that used to tell you people's phone number. They will tell you and they will not tell you anything. If you watch their videos, they'll say, "Who is Natasha? The person comes out. Say, yes, prophet, yes. He said, "I'm hearing being paid. He said, "That's my sister. I'm hearing it. That's my elder sister. I'm hearing it. Ah, that's my mommy." He's like, "Did you tell me before? Did I know you? Have you met before?" Say, "No." Celebrate grace. People cry. Then he comes back. I'm going now. I enter into your village. Only Kolobo, I enter. There's a tree by there. Say, "Yes!" I enter to that, and they begin to see all of that. To what end is all that information? What problem have they solved? Even if I tell you your phone number accurately, don't you know your phone number before? Are you following my point? So, if you see it, anybody can express the word of knowledge. Doesn't mean the person is true. So my point is this. In expressing the word of knowledge, the prophet is not supposed to tell you what to do. Let me show you scripture. Please, I'm sorry. I know I've taken your time. But let's just run through this. Duma, are you ready? Open to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Follow that scripture one by one. Acts 20, verse 22. What does it say?
And now. Behold.
Yes.
I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem.
So Paul says, "I go bound in the spirit towards Jerusalem." Yes.
Not knowing the things that shall befall
me. Not knowing what will befall me. Yes.
Save that the Holy Ghost witnesses.
Save that the Holy Ghost is telling me that in every city.
Saying that bonds and affliction abide.
Their bonds and their affliction and their sufferings. What?
Abide me.
Abide me. So Paul said, "I am going to Jerusalem. And the Holy Ghost is telling me that I'm going to suffer there." What is that gift? What gift is that? Word of wisdom. Because it's what? It's telling you what's happening in the future. You are going to Jerusalem. This and this and this is what's going to happen to you. Now, if you look, open the same Acts 21. Look at verse 10. Acts 21, verse 10. What does it say?
And as we tarried there many days,
as we tarried there many days,
there came down from Judea.
There came down from Judea
a certain prophet named Agabus.
A certain prophet named Agabus. And now, if you are a New Testament student, you know this man, Agabus. This is not the first time you listen to his name. Everybody knows him. If Agabus comes to your meeting like this, Kai, Makatalabana, prophet, professor. As he came in, what did he do?
And when he was come unto us.
When he came to us,
he took Paul's girdle.
He just cashed Paul's girdle like this. He didn't even say anything. Someone say drama. The move with Paul's clothes. Did what with it?
And bound his own hands.
Bound his hands.
And feet.
And his feet. Continue.
And said.
And begin to say.
Thus saith the Holy
Ghost. Thus says the Lord.
So shall the Jews.
So shall this, yes.
Bind the man that holds
they will
this
bind the man that hold this thing, yes,
and shall deliver him into the hand,
and they will deliver him to this, yes.
And when they heard these things,
both
we,
everybody,
and they of that place
began to beg Paul,
besought him not to go up,
please,
to Jerusalem.
Don't go to the, who will hear that kind of thing and not say, please? Now, that thing that Paul had, was he hearing for the first time? So it is still information. It is not instruction. Are you following my point? It is information. It is not instruction. What did Paul say?
Then Paul answered.
Paul answered.
What mean ye to weep?
What mean ye to weep like this? Yes.
For am I not ready? For I am ready not to be bound only. But also to die at Jerusalem. For the name of the Lord Jesus.
So we see Paul resolve to that. So if you go to Acts chapter 23. So we have started from Acts chapter 22. From 21. We're now in Acts chapter 23. Verse 11, yes.
And the night following, the Lord stood
now,
by
on his way to Rome, Jerusalem, where they said he should not go. On his way, what happened?
The Lord stood by him. And said,
Be
of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also.
So we saw Jesus standing beside him there. We say Paul missed it. Paul didn't miss it. In all that vision, there was no instruction. So anybody can come and tell you this and tell you that, but they don't have the right to tell you what to do. You see, what to do, even if I say, Pastor Solomon, I think God is, you know, calling into this, it must connect. You see what Paul says? Paul says, I am bound in the spirit. You see Paul say that? So this was not a matter that Paul had not prayed about. Can God lead you to affliction? Plenty times. Plenty times, my brother. Plenty. Bible says, and that the Lord came upon me and took me to a valley full of what? People don't want to go to that kind of valley. Ha! Valley of dry bones. Valley of dry bones. But the angel came upon Ezekiel and took him down. He didn't take him up. Took him down to the valley. God forbid. Hey! If you see that valley of dry bones in your visions, say, ah, this is my village people. This cannot be God. It's God. Because God is going to take you to a place where the value of your unction will be placed, demanded upon. Demand on your anointing. Ha! He says, the hand of the Lord came upon Jesus and drove him into the wilderness. Not today's believer doesn't want to hear that. You want to be pleasurable. All around. All around. Everywhere I turn, your love is all around. All around. God said to Jesus, Moses and Elijah appeared to him on the mountain. And God said they spoke to him about the death he will accomplish in Jerusalem. He calls death an accomplishment. God said, you accomplish death. A New Testament believer doesn't want to hear that. He wanted to be rosy all the way. God didn't promise you rosiness. He promised you victory, not easy. Victory is not easy. You will have victory. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what he says. So all these prophets were prophesying. Somebody would have said, no, I'm not going. You mean this is going to happen. They're going to bind my leg and bind my hand like this. Ah, I don't even have to hear God. I already know what to do. I'm going to run away. But God says, go ahead. So the New Testament prophet's job is to confirm what God already imprinted in your spirit. You must understand this very, very clearly. As you grow in your walk with God, some of you are here, God will cause you to operate in the gifts of the prophecies and the prophetic in the name of Jesus. You know, you are here sitting like this. Some of us, there's a prophetic grace on our head. We have not triggered it yet. There's a prophetic destiny waiting for you. Sometimes it is by prophecy that we usher ourselves into those things. But you must understand where God is leading you as a believer. I want you to get charged up in your heart. God speaks today. And I've had testimonies. I've had testimonies. And there's nobody here looking at me that God doesn't want to talk to. And God doesn't want to talk to. The gift of word of knowledge is open to all believers. I believe all believers work in that. All believers. All believers. You work in that. All believers. As a pastor, I had to work in the gift of word of knowledge. Things should not be shocking me. Like good luck. Good luck was shocked all the time. They are blasted. No. Look at Elisha. Elisha would tell the king, don't pass that side. The king of Syria is going to pass there. Every day you walk into trouble, what's your problem? The gift of word of knowledge is good for evangelism. I've used this severally. If I look at someone, I look as if he's a stubborn-headed person, I don't know how to preach the gospel. I'll say, Lord, tell me something about this person. And then we'll just impress. Sometimes just one line first. We'll start with one line. It takes faith, if you go and disgrace yourself. If you are not ready to be disgraced, you can't walk with God. You see, if you are overwhelmed with your reputation, you can't work with God. If you are too obsessed with yourself, say, me, I cannot. You are going to be on the edge. Working with God will put you on the edge. So preaching to a guy, he was a cab man. Preaching to him, he didn't want to listen. So I said, your marriage is in trouble. I told him, he said, hey, he packed. He said, Pastor, I said, are you ready to give your life to Christ now? Very easy. I did it on the streets. Is available to all believers. Are you following my point? So now, let me go back to my point and round up with this. If God wants to lead you in the New Testament, He leads you by His Spirit. But He can cause there to be a prophetic confirmation of what He has told you. And that is why, as a believer, you must stay aglow in the Spirit. Your spirit must always be on fire. You must be devoted to the word and to prayer. You must ensure that your heart is always alive. It's always aglow. That's because you are always aglow in the spirit. You are not dull and you are not daft. Now, we did something last week. I said, you guys should pray. How many of you prayed and you got a word from God? Let me see hands. You got a word from God. You got a word from God that meeting. How many of you have done something about what you heard from God? Let me see hands. Yes. That's how to kill doubt. If you give room for the enemy is going to quickly plant doubt. You that you heard God clearly now. Now you heard God. You begin to doubt. Let me tell you the truth. No matter how powerful a vision is, if you give a vision time, you will soon forget. You will soon forget. Some of you, if I ask you now, what did God tell you in your final year in university? Ha! You say, Pastor. When the Lord came to me and began to speak to me. When He came and He touched your heart, you cried hot tears. You wept as He began to unravel your future before you. You wept. He dragged you into a place of prayer and fasting. But He did not do anything about it. After 2 years, if He comes to pinch you again, you may cry small, but you will not cry like the first time. Because familiarities begin to set in to it. After a while, when He comes again, it won't pinch you again. So when you now see other people trying to hear God, you now say, we have done that, you know. I remember what a young man. I remember in those days, we also... God spoke to us, man. God spoke to us. But what did you do about it? Nothing. In the race of destiny, it is the one that jumps into the river first that is healed. When you hear it, you jump in. Some of us are where we are today because we did nothing about what God has spoken to us. I'm telling you the truth. If you cast your mind back now, go back to your journals. If you remember the things, some of you now, if you remember those things, it doesn't make any sense to you again. But in those days, it meant everything to you. Hey, you thought that if you don't do this, you are going to die. Now look at you. You are selling, you are doing teller in the bank. Everything that God told you, you don't concern you again. You are feeling teller. How much? That's what I do. All the lives that were attached to your destiny, waiting. God can speak to your heart, and he has been doing that. But I want him to do more with prophetic confirmation tonight. Rise on your feet. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. 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 Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. I need to round up this meeting now. Pray in the Holy Ghost 1 minute. Reba bra sote radishka. Telabala brande le barada bakasha da brada la bataya. Le raboko sote le gabradeshkia. Le babaraba dolobrosko volobroski. Reda shaka barada bataya. Kereboko sote le gabarada bahaya. Rabababababababa shala babata la bahaya. Come on, pray. I'm running up now. Member, Mambro Sopra, Tele, Braden, Shate, Rega Barada Babaskata, Labarada Bashaya, Elevela Bregada, Rosina Batal, Ambra Deneva. You are stirring up the rivers. 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 Elakwas Katele Balade, Kabaradoski, Balada Bate, Balada. Take your Bible in your hands. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Shebras kufreli kibratia. Every dead calling is coming alive tonight. Every latent gift, every calling, every anointing that's been abandoned, every prophetic mantle, every mantle of an intercessor, every grace, every anointing, every empowerment, every deposit of the Spirit that has been abandoned and left for dead is coming back to life tonight. Isaiah 52 verse 1, look at what the Bible says. I'm reading verse 1 and verse 2. It said, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Awake, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Verse 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Karabakos ketelebahaya. Arise. You see that? Arise and sit down. Yoruba will say, didejoko. Arise means to come to the awareness of your call. Sitting down needs to take the place of authority in your calling. Arise, I've been sleeping for too long. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of your neck, O captive daughter of Zion, all the hands of your neighbor. You are going to pray and say, Lord, every calling in my life that has been sleeping, every deposit of God, every anointing, every grace in my life that has been sleeping, somebody pray. Pray. There are intercessors in this place. There are intercessors in this place. There are intercessors in this place. There are prophets in this place. Pray. Come in alive. Oh yeah, pray. potential, every dead dream come back alive. Dead books, dead projects, dead songs, dead businesses, unction, mantles, anointings, come back alive. Everything the Lord spoke to you, I declare, come back alive. In Jesus' precious name, Father, we ask tonight that you steer our hearts. Everything you said to us by prophecy, said to us by revelation, by your word, I declare there's a revival in our spirits. There's a revival in our spirits. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.